Good afternoon. This is Chris Bricker, and we are here with Through Science to Health. This is our bi-monthly program on alternate Fridays with Lynn Sorensen, public health advocate and RN retired, and a member of our COVID response team. And we're talking about recent developments around the COVID, not only nationally but locally, and some tips and advice. So here we are. Let's see if Lynn Sorensen is on the line now. Are you there, Lynn? Hello, Lynn. I got you now. How about there?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, how are you?
I am well, thanks.
That's good. Well, we have a number of things to talk about today, so let's get on with it. What would you like to start out with? I think there's some. We have so much to talk about today, but let's see if we can get it all in.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I'd make sure that gets out. Oops. Are you still there?
I'm here.
I'm hearing a lot of static. But
are you okay?
Huh. Yeah. In any case.
Huh. Is that better?
That's better. Yeah.
Okay. You might be standing near something that's giving you feedback there.
No. Okay. The health department put out an announcement and sent it to the KPTZ last evening about people that have been gathering at Parbu Lake the Saturday, August 15th and Sunday, August 16th. And they are wanting people that were at that gathering that were, if they hadn't been wearing a mask or staying away from others, that you may need to be tested. There were two positives out of that gathering, and this was just as of yesterday, Thursday, the 20th. So the health department has already identified 23 contacts involved with this and working quickly to get those people into isolation and quarantine. So if you were at a gathering at Tarbu Lake on Saturday, August 15th or Sunday, August 16th, you would do well to contact either your provider or the nurse hotline up at Jefferson Healthcare. And the number there is 360-344-3094. But again, the health department will probably be wanting to contact you, but it'd be great if you could identify yourself and find out what to do.
Very important. And, it's just we've been very proud of ourselves in keeping the numbers low, but it just sort of reemphasizes the necessity for some of the standard things that we need to do, and that's the face covering and social distancing. And it's the only way that we can keep COVID-19 at bay until there's a result that will be advantageous for everybody, but a scientific result. And speaking of that, what's happening in the world of therapeutics these days, Lynn?
Well, a lot is happening. It's still, of course, in different phases of discovery. The plasma therapeutics, where they actually take plasma from people that have recovered from COVID, and plasma is the part of the blood that they remove the cells, and it's the yellow serum that's left, and then that has been used be given to people that have COVID, and hopefully to see if it will help with their recovery. But Fauci and other FDA commissioners, now retired, have put a hold on that. They're asking for it to be a hold of the FDA's expanded access program because there's no evidence yet that the therapy has been proven to work or help, although it's been given to thousands of people under this expanded access program. There's been no, what they call a control group, so they can't say that it's really working. And until we know more, Fauci is saying that they should put a hold on this. So that's one thing in the therapeutic world. The other is the something you mentioned last week, the monoclonal therapies, where these are man-made antibodies to fight off the infection with people that already have COVID, and/or to prevent infection for those that have been knowingly exposed. And that work is getting actually is taking a lot longer than they thought, and they're having to back down on when they said they were going to be having that ready. There's all kinds of studies going on, and as far as the vaccine goes, I saw that Australia has invested and bought their way into vaccines that would be developed by AstraZeneca and Oxford University. So they've put down their money and saying, we're going to have it here manufactured in Australia, and we're going to get it out to all our citizens when it's ready. But and he actually made a pledge that it'll be mandatory for everyone to get the vaccine, and he had to walk back on that the following day, saying, no, we can't make it mandatory, but we sure hope everybody does get the vaccine. I know that you had some care and feeding of your mask that I found kind of funny, and do you want to talk about that?
Well, we'll do that in a second. I just want to, I would like to... also, this is something else that I've sort of translucidated statistics. So, you know, the current, you know, at least as of early this month, the Global Health Research Center forecasted that nearly 300,000 people could die from COVID-19 in the U.S. by December 1st. And that's so I said, how do I translate that into what people can actually visualize? Well, that's the entire population of St. Paul, Minnesota, plus the capacity crowd of one large metropolitan sports arena.
Mm-hmm.
Not counting portable chairs and bleachers on the floor, you know.
Okay. That's a lot of people.
But your average sports arena is about 17,000 people on average. And, you know, and when you stand on the floor of Madison Square Garden, which I had the privilege to do, and look up at every seat filled in the crowd, and then you translate that into the number of deaths. That's just for one sports arena. So I don't know. Yeah. I just thought I'd throw that out for our beer drinking comrades, and to realize that it's important to mask up and socially distance.
Yes.
They just can. Go ahead.
I was just going to comment that in South Africa, which is experiencing their winter while we're in summer, and this is their usual flu season, that they have had very little flu this year because people have been wearing their masks and socially distancing because of COVID. So possibly when our flu season comes around this winter, if we're all doing our best at, you know, doing our mitigation practices, that maybe we won't have the number of cases of flu to worry about as much, you know, that on top of COVID. So that's some positive coming out of this, that the flu would not be as rampant because we are hand washing, because we are wearing masks, because we are socially distancing. And we will need to keep this up for a long time.
Well,
it in your head.
Yeah, I think if anything comes out of, a number of things come out of this, of course, in terms of awareness, but just the whole idea of understanding how transmission of whether it be influenza or any virus takes place. There are different ways, if I'm understanding it right, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are different ways sometimes that other viruses are transmitted, but for influenza and COVID-19, this is somewhat similar, and the common cold, right?
Yeah, right, exactly, because the common cold is also a coronavirus. And there are some other clinical studies I could talk about. And you may remember remdesivir, which is a antiviral that was actually created during the SARS epidemic, and then was put away because SARS came and went pretty quickly. But now it's been brought out again, and the United States government is sending it out to states as they need it on a weekly basis. But it's been very, very disorganized. And this drug actually helps reduce stay in the hospital. If you're positive with COVID and you're in the hospital, this helps reduce your stay by maybe 4 days. So it has some help, but it certainly is not something you can take in advance to keep yourself from getting sick. But the deliveries have been very poor. Say, North Carolina, who had thousands and thousands of cases, they were not given any for 2 weeks, and whereas Vermont was given more than they could possibly ever need, and they were trying to get the government to take the drug back. Now, this is a drug that costs $520 a vial. I'm not sure how many vials are needed for your 5-day course of treatment.
Wow.
But the creator of the drug, Gilead, I think, they had initially donated a supply of 1.5 million doses, but that's been depleted now. And the U.S. government's bought nearly all of their commercial supply, and that's to last through September. So that's one thing that's not going very well, and I'm just thinking, well, if that's how the government's distributing this particular therapeutic medication, you know, how is it going to be with distribution of vaccine? You know, are there going to be big holes in that, too, if they can't keep track of who really needs it? You know, these are going to the states, and the states are distributing it to the hospitals. So that's problematic. Another thing, the hopeful clinical study that's going on is combining remdesivir with an interferon. And interferons are the proteins in the cells that that actually create the communication between cells. So it's part of our immune system. And the interferons signal other cells to get ready. Hey, heighten your antiviral defenses. So this mixed with this antiviral medication, they're finding that it may be effective in killing the actual virus within the body. So, I mean, there are studies going on, and there's a large clinical study starting in the U.S., now, and they're already enrolling people in it. And this is, they're actually going to be using a control group with this, meaning that some people will get the actual medication and other people will get just the placebo. So, and it'll probably be a blind study where no one knows what is being given to whom. But in any case, that's something hopeful to look forward to. But again, it's going to be months and months away. For just getting through the trials.
Well, there's a lot going on out there, Lynn, isn't there? You know, and
yeah,
people talk about how the virus doesn't recognize political parties or the color of your skin, but neither should the vaccine.
Right, and so how are we going to get it out to everybody? And you know, is it only the countries that have money that are going to be able to have it for their populace? The Pope even came out last week asking for everyone to have equal access to the vaccine once created. So that will be quite a chore.
Yeah, it's important. Well, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't talk a little bit about the care and not feeding of your mask. And I think that, I think that's really important. So real quickly, just for a couple of minutes here, because we do want to go back to the Tarbu situation, remind everybody and give out the phone number once again. But you want to treat your mask just like you treat your underwear. Change it every day and think about the moisture and the bacteria that's building up in the mask itself. That you don't want to wear that mask again the next day. So there are a few tips out there, and I suppose we could actually really post a reference on the website maybe to the care and feeding of your mask and in the right way. And, you know, if you wear a mask all day, it's gonna get soiled, and you're gonna sweat, and you're talking, and your saliva is going into the mask, and your sweat from your face, and so on. And then there's that added complication that masks, cloth, N95 respirator masks, and those the reusable the masks that the medical community have. Decided out of necessity to reuse at least once, but there's some cleaning that should be done, and wiping down should be done for those. But you shouldn't really be using them more than
going to the healthcare professionals. But
right.
There probably are some out in the community.
Yeah, but even those small masks, I've seen some pretty worn out. Temporary masks that you buy at the store. They look pretty worn out, and they look.
Yeah.
Some of them look maybe a week old, so that's really not a good idea. So, anyway.
Just need to, and then the important once you have a mask on is to not to touch it too. So, you got to take things off and on using the ear holders that you have on the mask, and not be touching the possibly moist parts of your mask, and then turning your doorknob and that everyone else has turned. But anyway, that's why you wash hands and wash your mask every day.
And
let them dry. And you
right.
Can put,
right. A lot of creative cloth masks out there. And the widely recommended method is also been promoted by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. You can actually go to their website and read about that. But throw it in with your regular laundry. And hot dryer. And then you can actually get some, if you hand wash them, like some do their underwear, then, you know, you use a disinfectant bleach, specifically used for disinfecting, and include that in the wash water. Right.
Well, we haven't talked about the county's counts lately. If we have time for that.
Yeah, we have 2 minutes, so let's see what we can get in here.
I was just looking. This was now 2 days ago. At Kitsap County, and their positive numbers at that point were 842 positive tests, but they've had 7 deaths as well. And what was very interesting to me was that under the demographic breakdown, it was the ages 20 to 29 that were the highest group as far as infected. And that, to me, reflects the Navy down in Bremerton and other areas. Probably Bangor as well. So that age group is much higher, it's much in the lower range than compared to Jefferson County, where the 60 to 69 age range is the highest. And we've had, I think we're up to 64 positives now. But in comparison to Clallam County, our total tests are close to 6,000. They've done a total of 11,273. Again, this is a couple days ago. And they've had 171 positives and 1 death. And their highest age range was between 10 and 19, which I found kind of peculiar.
Huh. Well, testing and contact tracing is the name of the game. And if you want to give out that number once again for...
This is for people that were at a gathering on August 15th or 16th at a Tarboo Lake that the health department would like to talk to you. They've had some positive COVID tests from that group. And if you would please call the nurse hotline at 360-344-3094.
All right. Lynn Sorensen, as always, member of our Virus Watch team here at KPTZ, and retired nurse and local advocate for health. And we really, really appreciate your being with us. We'll talk to you the week after next.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good afternoon. Bye.